Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh no, oh no, oh, I forgot about the podcast in the oven. I think it's burning. Oh, actually, no, it's fine, it's perfect.
Wonderful stuff.
Welcome. I really went into character there, James.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Me and Benito got worried for a second. We're like, uh-oh, something bad's happened. He's just introducing
the podcast. He thought I was having a stroke.
We thought you were having a stroke, but actually, you were doing a great intro to the Off-Menu podcast.
Indeed, I was. I am a very good actor. I got deep into my character there of man cooking a thing.
Yes, excellent stuff, Ed. Ed, what do we do on this podcast, man?
Well, here's what we do on the podcast, James. We have a special guest, and we ask them about their dream meal. And just in case you didn't know what a meal constitutes, James has got the facts and figures.
Their favourite ever. Starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink.
Yes, that is what we ask people. But, you know, a lot of people, when I tell them what the podcast's about, they're like, okay. You want to go, guys, no, you know, we riff around it. It's about the stories surrounding the meal choices.
Who are these people?
Oh, all sorts of people,
I've never met anyone like this. Oh, they go, oh, okay.
Oh, God, loads of different people.
Oh, I hate it. Probably people in the biz.
Oh, in the biz, mate.
People in the biz. They got on my nerves.
F the biz.
In the fizz.
Me and James are above the biz. Yeah. We flick V's at the biz.
Yeah, we flick V's at the biz and we tell it where to go.
But apart from our guest, who is in the biz.
He's in the biz, but he's the good side of the biz. He's the best side of the biz. He's the best of the biz there is.
He's the best of the biz there is. We are not going to fizz him in the biz.
No.
And our guest this week, James, is Armando Iannucci. Yes, actual Armando Iannucci. Very excited to have him in the Dream Restaurant.
I can't believe it. We've got Armando Iannucci. He's got his movie out now, The Personal History of David Copperfield.
Everything that Armando's been involved in the past. What a CV.
It's been top-notch. Alan Partridge.
Thick of it.
Death of Stalin, which I went to see at the cinema twice.
Oh, incredible. Everything. Everything you like, he's probably been involved in.
Absolutely. Probably had a hand in it.
But even given that, you know, he's been involved in everything that we enjoyed watching before we became comedians, and still, whilst we are comedians.
Yes.
If he says a secret ingredient, we will kick him out of the restaurant.
We'll kick him out on his face.
We will kick him out right on his face. And the secret ingredient this week is pickled herring.
Pickled herring,
James. We pre-agreed pickled herring, and now you've taken it to all pickled fish. Do you want us to kick him out of the restaurant or something?
Sorry, mate. Yeah, we will narrow it down. Pickled herring.
Yeah, so you're just going to change. Trout, just change it to food if you want. Pickled herring is the secret ingredient.
Yes, pickled herring.
Fish and pickle, not for me.
Yeah. Oh, guess what, man? Richard Herring always says he wants to get on this podcast, and then we just made pickled herring one of the secret ingredients. Bad luck, Herring. Bad luck. I hope you're listening, boy.
Do you want to tell everyone why we've picked pickled herring, James?
Yeah, because earlier on I ate some at the Scandinavian restaurant with you and Benito, and I didn't like it.
Yeah,
it,
your face all puckered up.
Yeah, to be
fair. It was like your face all puckered up like someone had just snuck up behind your chair and put their finger up your bottom.
Yes, well, I mean, they might. I'd rather that happened. Because it was not nice. The pickled herring, and it was with egg as well.
Yeah.
It was a sliced egg.
As in, sorry, he said egg. I know I was there.
Sliced cold egg. Yes, you think that I just said Ed?
Yeah, I got confused that your name's Ed. With Ed or Egg.
Well, if Ed was an egg, he would be called Egg Scramble.
Yeah, very clever.
Egg Scramble.
Thank you, James Eggcaster.
Oh, James Eggcaster. Do you like that, Benito? The Egg-Nito, great
Egg-Nito.
But Benito told us that we probably got some more time on this when we
and that we can riff a bit,
and we've done that with the egg names.
Yeah, James Eggcaster, the Great Egg-Nito, Egg Scramble.
Yeah, that's our names if we were eggs. Armando Egginucci-son.
So, let's hear more from the off-menu of Armando Egginucci. Welcome, Armando, to the Dream Restaurant.
Yes, I can't believe it.
Welcome, Armando Egginucci, to the Dream Restaurant.
Now, that noise was our resident genie waiter.
Uh-huh. Who's transported me magically.
Thank you very much.
While staying in my seat.
Yeah, yeah.
While staying exactly where I was when we started.
Your seat. I know you like that seat. I didn't want to move you out of it.
No. I bring this sofa wherever I go.
Nice and comfy.
Yeah, it's lovely.
If you like, do you prefer sofas or armchairs?
Great, that's our traditional first question.
I reached the stage when you get as old as me, chaps.
Yeah,
you're like a good upright back.
Okay, you need for the posture.
Yeah, for posture.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's something firm and solid.
That's nice.
Nothing woosy and kind of fluffy and.
You know. To feel held.
Yes. Yes.
Well, the whole thing.
It's the mother I never had. That doesn't work as a sentence because everyone had a mother.
Everyone
had,
yeah.
It's sort of...
everyone's the mother you never had, apart from your mother.
Right? Yes, yeah. Exactly. There we are. We've resolved that issue. Because that's been bugging me for some time.
You're the mother I never had?
Yep, I know. Yeah. I'm the uncle you never knew.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the sister you don't like.
Yeah.
I'm the cousin you once murdered.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to have one of these again.
I bought some of this Norwegian smash before. We went to... Ed Benito and I went to have... lunch in Scandinavian kitchen in London, and they sell these this snack called smash, which is not
when you told me
it's
you
not
bought,
mashed potato
yeah,
no.
He told me he bought three bags of smash and I thought he's having a breakdown.
Yeah. He's gone crazy. Yeah.
It's large bowls of mashed potato covered in chocolate.
I've got these salty bugle shaped crisps that are covered in chocolate. And we're having a good time over here.
Yeah.
Being a good boy.
They look very nice. I'm just trying not to snack, you know.
And I'm put off by the salt. I've had it with salt in caramel.
Yeah, you're done.
I'm done.
Do you want a line in the sand?
Yes. Yes.
It's very tricky to find caramel without salt in it now.
I know. You tell me about it. Because honestly, I've looked and it's very hard. It's one of the labours of Hercules would be find caramel without salt in it, and then you will have the golden fleece or whatever the myth was.
Oh, yeah. He loved that golden fleece, Hercules. Yeah. Can you remember when it changed? Can you remember when salted caramel came in and what it was like for you? Because a lot of people had different responses.
I know exactly where I was when salted caramel happened.
Yeah.
It was about, what, 2 years ago?
Oh, probably longer than that.
I feel like it
feels like 2 years.
Yeah.
Is it?
I know, emotionally it feels like 2 years
ago. Was it the summer of salt?
Yeah.
Good times.
I think it was like probably, I reckon as much as 9 years? Really? Eight or nine? Ooh, yeah.
Controversial.
Well, I guess it depends whether you're at the cutting edge of food innovations.
Yes.
So maybe it only reached you 2 years ago.
I know. Yes, I don't live in London. Yeah. And therefore, you know, these very modern foods only reach the shires 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You've got so much coming your way that's
exciting. God, what else? Yeah. Tell me.
You wait. Don't,
you've, just, you've just come hot from the city. What else do they have?
Avocado.
And not just avocados, they smash them up. By smash them up, I don't mean they cover them in chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, they smash them onto bits of toast, I hear.
With their fists. Yeah. Smash it to a pulp.
Oh, that's right. They tell me, do tell me of turmeric. What
is... healing properties. I met, I can't remember. Clark Peters, is it? The actor?
Oh, the actor from The Wire. Yeah, The Wire.
Yeah, yeah. And he swears by...
By turmeric?
Yeah, he swears by it. Okay. He says that can cure everything. He's got a little garden. He grows it in the garden. And he swears by it. He's a healthy guy.
Mm. Is it turmeric he grows in the garden? Or is he calling it turmeric?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe he learned a thing or two from being on The Wire. You know what I mean?
That's the code name.
Yeah.
Someone might be listening. Just call it turmeric.
String a bell. Yeah. Would you consider yourself a foodie then, since we're getting on the subject?
No. I don't know why I'm here. I was very blessed because both my parents were fantastic cooks, really. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up, everyone I knew was just amazing at cooking. I'm terrible at it. So I was kind of spoiled as a child on food, really.
Lovely.
I mean, it's very nice. It really is wonderful. Christmas was, every Christmas there'd be like 5 or 6 different Italian families who all owned an Italian restaurant. Each year one family took it in turn to host everyone else at this restaurant, and you just have amazing food.
Oh, wow.
All day. Every 2 hours a new course. So it was like, it started at 11 a.m. and it'd go on to about 3 a.m. the next morning. Lots of food every kind of 2 hours. And occasionally we'd sneak out to find someone who had a house where we could watch Morecambe and Wise, and then we'd sneak back in and eat more food.
Yeah, you know? I love that's the secret sneaky sort of teenage thing to
do. Yeah.
Don't tell mum.
Don't tell mum we're watching Morecambe and Wise.
I say Morecambe and Wise. No, it's just because there was no telly there in the restaurant.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't like banned. Don't watch Morecambe and Wise. They are utterly offensive.
So what sort of dishes were being prepared at those big feasts?
Well, enormous, fantastic pasta dishes and sort of meat dishes and just... The Italians do vegetables really well because vegetables... You know, I don't want to destroy, you know, healthy eating, but vegetables are boring. But, you know, they were very good at just covering them in herbs and lemon and garlic and just making them the most delicious thing you've ever tasted in your life. They actually make mashed potato really tasty by putting garlic and parsley and olive oil in mashed potato and eating it cold, and you could scoop up tons of it, really.
Yeah, I remember having... I had a Italian singing teacher for a while.
Uh-huh.
And
I've never heard this before.
Have you not heard that?
No.
I had an Italian singing teacher.
What was she called?
Cecilia.
Sometimes your life, I feel like you're going back in time and having new experiences and then just adding <them.
laughs> Just to try to impress Amanda. I'm an Italian person.
Yeah. My one Italian friend.
Yeah. She did become my friend, even though, I was... I think I was 21 and she was well into her 50s, but she became my mate. And I'd go around and have lunch. And when she first had vegetables at her house, it was a revelation.
Yes.
I was this is how it... And then obviously immediately realising what the trick was that you put unhealthy stuff on it and make it taste nice.
Yeah. Although, you know, as my mum still says to this day, you know, if you put olive oil and garlic and lemon, that's all healthy stuff.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's all for, you know. There are pockets of... communities in Italy that where, you know, the concentration of centenarians is very high, and it's because they live off seafood and vegetables. And
we're often told that the Mediterranean diet is the healthiest in the world. I think I mainly learned that off Olivio adverts.
Okay, yes,
the big spread on the table.
However, these Christmases, I also saw what people look like if they get pasta constantly for 50 years. and that was that's the danger signal.
Really. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Can't believe centenarians are real.
You can't believe there's even a word for them.
They like, only, what's a half horse, half person?
No, they only eat foods in quantity of 100. Ah. So they'd eat 100 peas, maybe for breakfast.
Yeah.
100 chocolate coated Scandinavian biscuits for a lunch thing. But it must be 100, yeah.
How old do you think?
100.
Yeah. End of question.
Yes.
Very exciting times for you at the minute because great film's coming out.
You're saying that as if you're kind of revealing this to me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, about to reveal.
What you don't know, Amanda, is that you've got a film coming out.
By the way, you know that film that you wrote? They went and made it.
Nobody said made that. Behind your back. That'd be funny, wouldn't it, if somebody did, if you bought a script to someone and they went, oh, I'm not really interested, and then a year later they brought you back and went, we made it, by the way. Thought you'd like it.
I think that happens to people. I think that's why they have long, drawn-out court cases in Hollywood, that very thing happens.
It doesn't go down very well. It's not like a nice surprise for the person.
No.
Oh, you made it awful. This is
but it's just, the cast is like people you know really well. They just didn't say.
You know how they all kept sneaking off and said they were busy?
When they said they were going off to watch Malcolm and Wise. In fact, they were doing the personal history of David Copperfield. Ah, here comes some interesting looking biscuits.
Look at this.
So not plain biscuits, but then we've got chocolate muffins.
Are you gonna put a muffin in between two digestive biscuits and have yourself an exciting sandwich?
The driest sandwich in the world.
No, but there's Mickey Mouse there.
There you go, perfect. You
know, perfect, isn't it? Yeah,
for the
listener with the screen.
I mean, you can probably
imagine somehow
how...
see this, just as if having a screen will let you see this.
Let's not describe to the listener too much. Let's make it a fun competition for everyone on social media. Okay. Let's just say, with nothing but some digestive biscuits and some mini muffins, Amanda has made a Mickey Mouse. Send in your photos of what you think it looks like and how he achieved it.
So you grew up around nice food, but you never thought, I'd like to learn how to cook some of this. You were like, I'm sorted, I've got enough people cooking it for me.
I remember when going off to university, getting my aunt's recipe for bolognese, which really saw me through 3 years. Because it's pretty good, so you can impress people.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Did no one cotton on, maybe the second time you cooked for them, that bolognese is all you had in your repertoire?
That's right, and all it is basically is some mince and some chopped up carrots and celery and a bit of a bay leaf and stuff.
Oh, lovely bay leaf. That's the secret. Most students aren't putting bay leaves in there.
Are bay leaves, do they work? Do bay leaves work?
It might be a scam, you know.
Do you think so?
Because you always take them out.
The bay leaf industry is based on money laundering.
We're all in the pocket of Big Bailey.
Big Bailey.
Yeah.
It's very clever market, actually. Just put it in, take it out.
Yeah, because if you've ever leave one in by accident and then bite down on it, it's not nice, is it?
No, it's not nice. It's like, don't eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this bit of stuff you put in my food, don't eat.
Yeah.
What have you put it in my food for, you idiot?
Yeah.
It's got nice...
Oh, that's glass. I sprinkled some glass. Don't, whatever you do, don't...
It just helps the flavour. So here at the Dream Restaurant, Amanda, we can get you whatever you like for your dream meal from anywhere around the world, anywhere from your life, any restaurant you've ever been to, any restaurant you'd like to go to. So we start though with...
Still a sparkling water.
I think it has to be still.
Has to be.
Has to be still.
How come?
Have you ever been in... There was a restaurant... I remember the first time I was in Los Angeles, or LA as I like to call it.
Oh, that'll catch up.
Yeah. Going to a restaurant where they had a water menu. When you ask for some water, you'd think they'd bring you water, but they come with a big thing with like all the different... Wow. And it wasn't like flavours. It was to do with what kind of gases had been pumped through it or the kind of density of the bubbles, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because we've always wondered if there could be a water with one massive bubble in it. We've always talked about that.
And would that be the fizziest water available? Mm. Or the least fizzy water available?
Yeah, if there's just one big like lava lamp bubble in it.
Yeah.
Just splooshing around.
I mean, that would be the place to get it, would be that LA water menu place, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Is that all they sold was water?
No, that was just... Okay.
I thought it was a water bar.
That was just warming you up.
Now, in that moment...
I'd call it the well, if it did.
Yeah,
If all it sold was water, I'd set up a little place that only sold water.
Well, strangely, the food was just sausages.
But only one type of sausage. There wasn't even a choice.
Yeah.
You know, for starter, for mains, for dessert, just all sausage. But the water was just amazing. You still went because of the water.
In that moment, right, when they showed you the water menu...
I'd call it Bangers and Splash.
Bangers and Splash.
Ah, very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
One of the best in the game, James.
Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, no further questions.
Did you nod along and sort of go, oh, very interesting?
What, a lot of sausages?
Yeah, there you go. So good. Ed, in case you haven't gathered, no one's listening to you.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get the question out. And okay. It's probably not worth it. But also, I'm now aware that the pressure's on for me to do a pun as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Because all three of us should really do one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you...
Pissing Link...
Yeah.
You've already had your go.
Right, okay.
Chip of water? Yeah. Like chipolata, but chip of water. chip of water.
Frankenwater.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like Frankenwater. Yeah.
All the different names for sausages are going.
Frankenwater. Yes. It's fun saying chip of water.
Cumberland and Sea.
What, Jesus?
Cumberland and Sea. Cumberland.
Oh, God.
Land and Sea.
That's good.
What
was yours again? Bangers and Splash.
Bangers and Splash was the first one.
Yes, very good. I think that's
the best.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the question?
Yes. Did you pretend like you cared about the different types of water?
No. Because also, when you're in LA, as I like to call it, you're always jet lagged, and really somebody asking you which type of water you would like when you've had like 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. So you just go, water. Just give me water.
So you just have the house water.
The house water.
Yeah. House water, whatever they recommend.
Yes. Pop-noms or bread, Amanda. Pop-noms or bread.
Actually, bread.
Bread.
Yes.
Yeah, you see, because then you can pour your olive oil out, you can dip your bread in.
Yeah.
Going on.
Lovely. Yeah. What kind of bread would you like us to bring you?
It has
you
to
want
be.
Olive oil with it?
It has to be a kind of like a ciabatta or a focaccia, really. Probably a ciabatta, really.
Yeah.
A little bit of salty bread is quite good.
How big?
Funny, salt in bread, great. In caramel, fuck off.
That's where.
Yeah.
What about sugar in bread? If we're going to go opposite the other way.
Not as a.
Yeah, like sugar. No, it's sweet bread.
Does that happen? I suppose it does, but.
Yeah, I think that happens, Ed.
Brioche, I guess.
Brioche.
What about Peshwari naan? Peshwari naan.
Oh, Peshwari naan. Naan's good. Yeah. Peshwari naan. I'd go for that.
Honestly, my entire brain is consumed with trying to come up with a sausage bun still.
I can tell. I can see it all over your face.
It's really difficult.
I've known you for quite some time, and Cumberland and Sea is really haunting you right now.
Well, I actually thought that was good. If our listeners can let me know, that was pretty good.
That was not good. Splashings? No, that's no.
No. Cumberland, even Cumberland and Sea was better than that one. Okay.
Cumberland and Sea.
Yeah.
Is the bread that you've chosen, is that from like back in the day where you went to these big feasts? Is there anyone specific in your family who made amazing bread?
No, because it would be terribly blue by now. I think a good deli, good proper, just solid bread.
Solid bread.
Is there a deli that you frequent at the moment? What's the best UK Italian deli?
Oh, God, I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that.
Do you have one that you go to?
I have one that's sort of about 10 minutes away that I go to, especially Christmas. I associate Italian food with Christmas, really.
Oh, yeah. Got into a bakery over Christmas. That's nice. You're all wrapped up warm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Walk in.
Hello, Armando. Hello.
Is that Armando saying hello, Armando?
Yeah.
That's an Italian thing?
Yeah, that voice.
Yeah. You just say your own name when you say hello to people.
Hello, Armando.
Yeah.
It's Armando.
Yeah. Hey. It's Christmas time.
Hey, just this voice for Christmas. Not the rest of the year.
Lovely Christmas.
I'll have your best bread.
So you want the best. You want the best.
I want the best bread.
The best bread.
The bakery. That's hard, isn't it? Asking a baker to choose their best bread.
Yeah, I know.
That's really putting them.
We used to live in a place where the bakery always. It's a baker's right. Its only job is to bake and then sell bread.
Absolutely.
If you went after 10 o'clock and said, "Can I have a loaf of bread?" Oh, we're out. I'm sorry. And this would happen every day. And you think, doesn't Doesn't someone have a word there and say, if you just cooked a bit more, you could sell more bread?
Stick some on at nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. And I, to this day, I don't know why that happened.
Think it was a front for something?
No, but across the road there was a shop, there was a restaurant called Russian Roulette.
Right, yeah.
That turned out to be a front for something.
Yeah. not a good name for a restaurant.
But also, who wants to go and eat at Russian Roulette?
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, apparently someone got food poisoning there.
Yeah, of course they did.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's only six dishes on the menu.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And one of them could be fired at your face. If you choose, you know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, why? Right, anyway, yeah, so yeah, so this bakery bread. Was always out of bread at 10 a.m.
So for this meal, would you like some bread from that bakery, but just like the last?
No, I'd like it from our local Italian deli.
Right, absolutely.
Good bread.
Some properly good deli.
It's good bread, the name deli. Of the deli.
That'd be a good name.
That's a good better name.
But then you would think that was a front.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a bakery called Good Bread. I'd be like, right, immediately.
Good Bread, honest.
There's a place in Edinburgh right down in the Royal Mile which just has signs outside saying like refreshing drinks and has like a stock picture of some beer
right
and nice food, and it looks like it's been set up by aliens to like coax humans into eat them.
We're blending in, no one will notice that this shop is actually our nerve centre.
Yeah, just walk in that door. I know it looks like a big mouth, but don't worry about that.
And there's a butcher shop next door. Where you just wonder, where are they getting all the meat from? Just endless supplies of meat. People are going in, but not coming out. Yeah. And then there's this meat here. And I have to say, it's quite tasty.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I mean, it is very popular.
All the meat has Christian names. Weird. So your starter then?
Yes.
Always exciting.
Always exciting.
I love the stuff.
I think it's got to be an antipasto. It's got to be a kind of your salamis and your prosciuttos and your artichoke hearts and your anchovies.
Lovely.
That's how we start. I mean, we used to have these immense Italian Christmas dinners where you'd have your antipasto and you'd just gorge on that because everything was delicious.
Yeah.
Then you'd have your kind of homemade ravioli. All right. Then you'd have your turkey. By which time you're stuffed. You are absolutely stuffed.
Amazing.
And so we just slice a bit off the turkey and just put it back in the fridge. Because then there's pudding, you know.
Oh, that sounds incredible. Yeah. I love an antipasto for a starter as well. Because especially if you have it as a starter when you're having dinner, because it feels like you're getting away with having lunch and then dinner.
Yes.
You're going, I'm very clever. Yeah.
You're this having a picnic great. And then you're eating your main course.
Yeah, it's great. And also there's no limit to the size.
Yeah.
If you put all the stuff out, you can just
pack the ham.
And those kind of peppers, pickled sort of peppers.
Is it antipasto?
Sorry, antipasta. It's...
antipasta.
Antipasti.
Antipasti or antipasto. What is it?
I've always called it antipasta, but I have a funny feeling it's antipasto.
No, but now I think it's antipasta.
What about antipasti? Is that in the mix?
No, are you antipasti?
Only in Cornwall? That
movement has been cut out now.
Did the pasty tax ever happen? Do you remember the pasty tax?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. You've climbed back into your past and altered the facts again.
Yeah, exactly.
It never happened, James. It never. There was no pasty tax.
You know pasty tax. I can't even believe that I asked you if you remember it. This man's political. We all know he is.
Yeah, the pasty tax just sounds like something that happened in the thick of it.
Was it you would write for a laugh.
Do you know the very first episode of the Thick of It? The plot is that the minister wants to announce something. He's got the press in at school to make this announcement, and on the way he's told he can't announce it because they don't have the money and the Prime Minister doesn't want it. So they then have 45 minutes to just dream up a policy or something. And we were filming it in the car on the way to the next location, and we'd done the scene, and then I said, well, we've got the three of you in the back, why don't you just improvise policies? And I just filmed them improvising policies. And they come up with these policies, and within 5 years, three of them had become law. Which is everyone has to have their own plastic bag, pet Asbos, and Chris Anderson came up with a national spare room database, which became the bedroom tax.
Actually quite terrifying.
Yeah.
That it's all just going to come true.
Absolutely. It's... It's dreadful. Reality is dreadful.
He's absolutely delighted. I can see it on Armando's face. He's going, all the more for me. You're thinking, what great fuel for the fire.
I love hardship and chaos.
So on the antipasto board, so we got some salami. Some prosciutto.
Yes.
Prosciutto. Some pickled peppers. Anything else?
Some anchovies. Artichoke hearts. No
cake.
No.
Are you having more bread with this as well?
Yeah. So this is more where bread. You get absolutely stuffed before you. Yes. And in a proper Italian antipasto, you would have mortadella, but I can't stand it, so I wouldn't. It's a sort of pork slice, very thinly sliced pork thing with peppers in it and
I know that one.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's got those white bits in it though.
Yeah, oh okay. The white bits. Yeah. Maybe. The chunks of fat, yeah, I like those.
So mortadella is banned from my fantasy starter.
Yes. We'll throw that all out the window.
Okay. You can even watch us just throw it all out the window.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Into the sea.
Pile all the white bits into a bowl of fat and just throw it at her.
Is there any other dish that is named after what it isn't or what it's what
is that is
what
that
it's
why
against?
It's called antipasto though?
Yes, before it's, your pasta dish.
It's not anti-pasta.
I mean, they have anti so as in Italian for before.
Before.
Yeah, it's not against pasta.
I think that's what James thinks
it is.
No, I thought it was like...
It's a precursor.
I thought it was like against pasta. Like, we don't like pasta.
It's a very big amuse-bouche.
Right, okay, fair enough.
But of course, in Italy, if you go into the restaurant, you're expected to have the antipasta, the pasta, and then the main... dish.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely stuffed by it.
It's a challenge, but one that's very welcome when you go in.
I know, because
when you walk
delicious.
In, you're like, you're starving, you can't wait.
I've had many enormous meals in Italy that I shouldn't have.
But then it sounds like, if it's lasting from 11 in the morning to 3 the next morning, lovely.
This is more just in Bologna or something.
This is when someone's like timing you. And,
and you've got a kind of, you're going to a cinema to do a Q&A at 3 o'clock. And they also pile wine on as well. So
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Mm. Sounds good though.
It's great. It's just, I think we should all just move there.
Yeah, I think so.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So that tees you up for your main course. So after you've stuffed yourself on the antipasta, what are you staring down the barrel of now?
Well, I'm going to avoid pasta, really, because that would just be conventional. I think a good risotto. Mm. A good, solid, creamy rice, meaty, mushroomy. Well, it doesn't have to be meaty, actually. A good mushroom and asparagus with cheese risotto is fabulous.
Is that something you can cook?
I have been known to cook it. Which implies that I've completely have no memory myself. Yeah. People tell me.
They're constantly reminding you about
you. Yes, it's been a while. Yeah. I used to share, as a student, I used to share with three vegetarians. So I got to manage to spread my kind of repertoire.
Yeah, that must have been a nightmare when you moved in and they all announced they were vegetarians and you slowly threw your bolognese recipe in there. Yes.
It's just Bailey. Spaghetti and bay leaves. Don't eat those bits.
Don't eat that meal.
I slaved over that. But don't eat any of it. You can eat the water that's in the pan. Yeah. The bay leaf flavoured water.
Yes. You're vegetarian, are you? Hey, do you want to try this broken glass? No, I knew in advance that they were vegetarian.
So you could add
but there was no kind of... it's not that I was bringing in livestock on a daily basis.
Sure.
It was fine.
I think risotto is one of those things that the vegetarian ones are better than the meat risotto.
I think so. I think the meat, it doesn't quite go with the rice and, you know, you want like potatoes or something with meat. You don't want a rice and meat is not quite right. Unless it's a curry. This is a really good curry.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. But the mushroom with the risotto is the perfect combination, I'd say. Yes. Do you want a variety of mushrooms in
there? Oh, yes, please. Yeah. I want to be surprised.
What's your top three mushrooms?
Oh, yeah. That's a genuine question.
I know that's a genuine question. I have no real answer. All I can think of is shiitake or whatever it is.
Shiitake.
I only know
that one because my dad always says shiitake because he enjoys that
joke. Yeah. He sounds hilarious.
Yeah, he's very funny. Runs in the family.
Yes. And I don't even know what a shiitake is, really.
It's a mushroom.
I know.
Yeah.
But what kind? Is it a big one?
I don't think it's a massive one. Yeah. I think often they come dried.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are those ones that look like sort of, you know, when you're sharpening a pencil and
it kind of
comes off and it just curls round.
Yeah, I like
it's a mushroom
those.
Like that.
Yeah.
I think the more they look like that, the better.
Yeah.
I think the more that they look like just like classic, like, you pencil know, the little pencil stem sharp. And the cup, I don't like them.
Yes, right.
Yes. I'm not into them bored.
You like the weird ones?
I like the ones that are more, they look like hands and feet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and yes, it's all like, yes, yeah. There's just...
really just, like ugly mushrooms.
Yeah. The more that they look like they've been foraged in the forest.
You've always rooted for the underdog, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
My wife still teases me about a photograph that we took on our honeymoon when we were in Southeast Asia, and I can't remember which bit because we went all around, but we went to a place that was a mushroom farm, and it was a log with mushrooms growing out of it, and I took a photo of it, but it just looks like a piece of wood with mushrooms growing out of it. It's not, hey, we had an amazing holiday, look, we went all around Thailand and Malaysia, look at this log with mushrooms growing out.
You got that frame.
It's the dullest photo you've ever seen, and it's little tiny mushrooms.
Yeah,
it's not like they're not like hands and kind of webbed feet or anything. It's just
would you like those specific mushrooms
like
in your risotto
flown in from Malaysia or Indonesia or wherever,
and it'd be a lovely reminder of your honeymoon.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
So you got a lovely mushroom risotto with lots of cheese in it as well.
Oh, lots of cheese, plenty of cheese.
Yeah,
key ingredient cheese.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that for everything.
It's
and a key ingredient.
Keep putting it in as you're making it. Yeah.
If
that kind of Arab, what's the rice? The Arab. Come on, you know food.
Yeah. Oh!
What's that rice?
No, all I can think of is arancini balls.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Okay.
Anyway, those.
No, I do know what it is.
Those rice. Those rice.
All I can think of is Cumberland and sea over and over again in my head.
Yeah.
So you want risotto with those rice.
Those rice.
Honeymoon mushrooms. And lots of cheese.
Served on a bed of honeymoon mushrooms. Yes,
we could serve it on the log if you want.
And here's a question. Cheese.
Yeah.
And it's cheese.
And it's cheese.
If when you saw that log with all the mushrooms growing out of it,
yeah,
and you also just happen to have in your pocket a block of cheese and a cheese grater, would you get your wife to keep watch and grate the cheese over the mushrooms just for a laugh, even just leave it there, not even eat it, just grate it all
and
over
then
the log
just
and
get a blowtorch
just
gently simmer the log. The log itself could catch fire, so kind of like a source
long
of heat.
Very
nice.
It sounds delicious.
Lovely. Wrap some bread around that.
I think that would become an actual dish. Yeah. If you were at a restaurant and they brought out a horizontal log with mushrooms growing out of it, and then in front of you they grated cheese over the top of it, flambéed it all, and then like you got to just pick the cheese,
yes,
mushrooms.
Oh yeah, that sounds delicious.
Out of the log.
That's Heston level.
That's Heston level.
Another meal I remember in on our honeymoon. Not that that was a meal. That was just a log full of mushrooms.
Just to be clear, you did not eat those mushrooms out of the log.
Some friends, right? Because we were sort of poor students, kind of going around Southeast Asia, and someone said we were in Singapore, and someone said you must go to this place, and it's a place where they train catering staff and they train restaurant staff. So you can get like a 5-course meal for the equivalent of £10 because you're the guinea pig, you know. So there are people standing in the corner with notepads assessing the people serving you.
Wow.
Bread.
Amazing.
And I did think that I could ruin someone's career by just going, this is what I asked for. And then I just marched out. But anyway, amongst all that, I did order pigeon soup.
Pigeon soup.
Pigeon soup. Okay. And it came in a sort of crock with a lid on it. And I lifted the lid and I was merrily eating it. Very delicious. And my wife, Rachel, was looking at it just like aghast. And then I could see why, because I looked down and the pigeon was still in it. It was a kind of, there was a shriveled up pigeon. But actually it was really delicious. So
shriveled up?
Well, not, it hadn't shrunk, but it was, you know, clearly dead.
Just a dead pigeon.
It was a dead pigeon in the soup. No.
So just a little, like, beak?
Well, yes. I mean, what I did, because I wanted to carry on eating.
I'm imagining the beginning of Benjamin Button right now.
Oh.
You know, like a shriveled little
wrinkly. Yes. Yeah, man, yeah. And in the end, I just carried on eating. I put its wings over the side and its head over the front of the crop. So there was this pigeon just staring out over, like a goblin staring out over what I was catching. And it put everyone in the restaurant off.
Yeah, really. Of course it did.
Funnily enough.
Funny that. So I could have their dinner as well.
Yeah. Like going around getting all the, no one eating their pigeon around here anymore. Yeah. So your side dish then, you've eaten a big antipasta, because you're against pasta,
yes,
and now you've got a lovely sumptuous side dish.
What side dish?
Your eye on?
I don't want a salad. Take it away. I don't want a salad.
Anti-salad.
I'm anti-salad.
So whatever dish you want is called anti-salad.
Anti-salad. It will have to be, you could do broccoli really nice with a bit of chilli in it. And nice and not too over-boiled.
Bit of crunch still in it.
I definitely want some crunch to some broccoli. Yeah.
What length of stem do you want on your broccoli?
Well, not too long, because I think the longer they are, the less nutritious they are, the less tasty they are.
Oh, okay.
I like a long, tender stem.
Okay.
Long, tender stem.
How long would be too long for you, Ed?
It would. I don't mind it draping over the edge of the plate.
No,
but I'd like it to still be on the table.
Yeah,
ideally.
You know what a snooker cue's worth.
I don't want a snooker cue.
It's not a caber.
Yeah.
Have what waiters limboing underneath your broccoli on the way past the table.
I need it to be.
It's so long that mushrooms were growing out of it.
I want it to be able to be carried by one member of staff.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't need anyone on their shoulders marching it
Paul
out.
Paul Bear has been
I don't want funeral broccoli.
No.
But you would like a shorter stem for your broccoli.
You can use them as like things to put a coffin on.
Yeah.
They're so hard and they act as like a trestle.
That's where things are going to be going in the future with global warming and stuff, man. We're going to have to.
Making food do other things for us.
You're going to have to be using it for everything and then eat it up afterwards.
Screens will be made of pasta.
Like a beef car.
A beef car that runs off its own fat.
Good idea, actually. Yes. See, that's just another one of those ideas. In five years' time, it's going to be another.
We'll be laughing then if we get it now.
We'll all be riding cows in the future.
Yes.
That's what I meant by beef car.
Essentially, a beef car that runs off its own fat is a cow, right?
we just go to work on a cow.
We all just be going to work on a cow. That's one of the things that I haven't thought about that in a while.
Would you trade your cow in for a newer one?
For a newer cow.
Never buy a new cow. No. It loses money as soon as it gets off the forecourt.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Remember when you
kick the legs, see how it's underneath.
Medium stem broccoli.
Yeah, medium stem.
With chili.
Chili and olive oil on it.
A little bit of chili, olive oil, maybe a little bit of salt.
But just a bit.
How big do you want the salt, like, crystals on there?
Not, like, from Utah, Salt Lake City. Not like the flats of Utah.
Not like, you know, a Mormon salt.
A big
no Mormon salt, salt, thank you.
Not Mormon salt.
No.
No, no, no.
Absolutely not.
You know, because that's, you know, don't know what they've done with it.
Yeah, Matt married it.
Yeah, they've probably married it. Oh, here's a question.
But yeah, a little bit of sea salt.
Off the back of that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to marry a food. What food are you going to marry? It can be a whole dish or it can be an individual ingredient like salt.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to marry it.
I have to marry it.
Yes.
Not marinate it.
No. Very good.
I think it would have to be that pigeon soup.
Yes.
Because it was delightful.
And you can look at it.
And it will bring back memories of my actual wife.
You've had to divorce for the sake of the fun food, Marion.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I was doing this podcast and I signed a contract. I didn't read the contract. I mean, and it does say I have to carry out all the ideas we kept. They do have to be. Apparently, it's a law thing. But I think I can then divorce the pigeon soup and then we can remarry. I think, anyway, it'll all be fine.
Would you name the pigeon soup after your wife so it makes you feel more like she's around still?
No. I think I would call it pigeon soup.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Born in pigeon soup. Who of your friends, do you think any of your friends would be quite accepting of the fact you're married to a bowl of pigeon soup?
No.
Everyone would be worried about you.
Everyone would be reporting me to the police.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because they'd be saying his wife has disappeared, and there's just this pigeon soup in the house now. I think something's.
He's arranged it so it's peering over the bowl.
Yeah. He sat it so it's like in a jacuzzi.
Yeah. I sort of put it on the telly, so it's just lying there on the telly, looking at me like that.
Oh, dead beak.
Brushing my teeth, there it is, kind of there in the mirror. Just, with its beak open, as if to say, can I have some of that?
Brush my teeth.
Toothpaste.
As well. Be a fun joke if you can brush my teeth, even though I haven't got any teeth, a little dead pigeon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What fun.
Well, I know we probably have to move on, but obviously for me, the most fun bit is imagine that our man is married to a bowl of pigeon soup. Favourite drink?
My favourite drink, it kind of varies, really. I mean, I used to like red wine and I kind of, you know, being Italian, we were brought up on wine from an early age. I would have, you know, Sunday meals at age 12, 13, and have wine and lemonade.
Oh, wow. Oh, lovely.
Which actually is quite nice still,
actually.
But as I got older, I've kind of found wine. Sorry?
White wine.
Red wine.
Red wine and lemonade.
Red wine and lemonade.
Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm trying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd love that.
Yeah.
That's right. I would love it.
Yes.
I didn't know you could do it. I thought it would like separate out.
No. It's a wine shandy.
Something when I was a kid, I mixed orange juice and milk together.
Ooh, no. That would all separate.
It tasted old cottage cheese.
The taste was so horrible and confusing that I hid under the table.
Were you trying to get away from the taste?
From your own
and
mouth.
It was just me in the kitchen. I was about probably 5 or 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Mixed them together, had a swig, and then I remember instantly hiding under the table. Because it was so horrible. I didn't know what to do. It was so unexpected.
I would never try
red wine and lemonade because I'd think it would
I'm going to go back for because I've slightly gone off red wine or wine generally. Just alcohol, I don't know, as you get older, I think somebody had, or maybe it's just me, I just find it makes me feel miserable.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true of everyone, but not everyone acts on that.
No.
It's like, okay, well, I guess I'm feeling miserable then.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel miserable before I had this trip.
Yeah.
It's actually making me miserable.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I thought people drank to kind of get away from their misery. This is inducing it. This is like, I don't need this misery.
Sure. That's fair enough.
But wine and lemonade, I'm going to bring that back. Yes. I'm going to go for wine and lemonade.
Oh yes. So right.
Yeah. You do it and not light, not diet lemonade.
No,
full, you need the full sugar stuff.
Yes. Absolutely.
Cloudy?
No, cloudy lemonade. No, not cloudy. I can't be doing with all this kind of
old-fashioned. It's a bit too similar to salted caramel, actually, in a way. It kind of seems like it should be in the same class.
It's like vintage lemonade, isn't it?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, you want classic. See-through lemonade.
Yeah. see-through, yeah. Is translucent
there
lemonade.
Is there a specific wine or lemonade that you'd like to mix, or because they're mixed up, does it matter about the quality of
it? It probably doesn't. I've gravitated... I've never been knowledgeable about wine. So I'm always, you know, at meals, I'm always the one to insist that someone else chooses the wine.
Yeah.
I have, however, gravitated...
Were you like that when you were 13?
Yeah. do you want some lemonade? What lemonade do you want? I'll have the Malbec.
Yeah.
With just an inch of lemonade.
My seven-year-old brother will taste it.
Yes.
See if it's cork.
Swirling around it. Yeah, that's very nice.
So any wine, any red wine, any lemonade.
Yeah, I like Malbec. I like there's a Sicilian wine, Diavola, Nero Diavola. Well, I don't know what that means. I don't.
Sounds like it means devil.
Devil juice.
Just devil juice.
Devil's juice.
Sounds obscene.
The devil's juice, but then lemonade is known as lemonade. Angel's tears. So that's okay.
Yeah, the perfect mix.
Mix those two together.
They cancel each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sort of purgatory.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we can call the drink if you want.
Purgatory. Yeah. I'll have a purgatory. That's one shot of Nero Diavola and two shots of fizzy lemonade, please. Cream soda. Have you
heard about
cream soda?
I've not had it in years.
No, I know.
I think about it a lot.
What? Yeah. It just tastes like bubble gum, really.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It doesn't even taste like liquid.
No, I mean, I don't quite know what it is the flavour of.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sort of an iron brew, I suppose. Iron brewing lemonade. Never had that.
Iron brewing wine?
Iron brewing.
Would you?
Iron brewing wine, yeah. Iron brewing milk.
Iron brewing milk.
Oh. Now we're into cocktails.
Here we go.
I've been hiding under every table in the world.
We turned into a load of mixologists.
Yeah. We're crazy.
Yeah.
It's like setting logs on fire with mushrooms on them. Mixing iron brewing milk.
Oh, great stuff.
Iron brew milk and wine.
Yeah.
Or no, really, you'd want red wine, iron brew, and then a green drink to make a traffic light.
Traffic light.
Kind of thing.
Creme de menthe or something.
Bam.
Yes.
Delicious.
Delicious.
No complaints here.
Appalling.
Yeah, or appalling. Yeah.
So we'll be getting you a glass of purgatory for your
glass
drink.
Of purgatory, please.
Glass of purgatory. And now, the course that is my favourite course, the desserts. You'd probably be able to tell by the fact I asked you if there was cake on your antipasto earlier.
No. It has to be a sherry trifle, a good sherry trifle.
Oh, have we had a trifle yet?
I'm not sure we have had a trifle.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you got through this without a trifle?
Amazing, right? I would have thought we'd had a trifle until now, but yeah. No trifles.
No, there you go then.
Why is that your favourite dessert?
It's got everything. It's got sponge, it's got jam, it's got custard, it's got cream, it's got those sprinkled nuts.
Yeah.
It's just a whole adventure. Don't you think?
It is an adventure. I don't know if I've had... I don't know when the last time I had a proper trifle was.
Yeah. It's not in fashion.
It's not.
I don't care.
No, I know you don't care. No, I think, no. But that's why I don't think I've had one for a while.
Yeah, we're not anti-trifle.
It's
we're not anti-trifle.
No.
And by that, I don't mean before trifle.
No.
Would you like a pre-trifle?
If anything, it's saying that we're after trifle.
Yeah, we're after trifle.
Yeah, you're right. It's very rarely an option in restaurants, is it?
Mm.
Trifle.
Unless, and this will make you angry, I don't think three words will ever make you more angry than this. Salted caramel trifle.
Oh!
Imagine it.
No, that's an appalling kind of... That's almost like murder.
What if?
It's kind of...
What if?
It's almost exactly like murder.
It is exactly like murder.
What if the pigeon...
Your Honour, he put a sponge in some custard and then put in salt and caramel. And the jury go... He's going down.
Send him down.
Yeah.
But at the heart of the trifle was a dead pigeon. Imagine that. Yeah. The pigeon comes out of the trifle.
Or maybe not dead, but dying. It's a delicacy. Most countries don't do it, but if you ask for it, certain restaurants will serve you a dying pigeon.
Last gasp trifle. Yes.
How would you build the trifle around the dying pigeon? Because how much of a fight is it putting up? Is it dying as in like it's
I know, it's pretty not exhausted because it's feet are it. Is it feet? Claws? What are they?
Sure, yeah.
I can wedge between two...
Like in some jelly.
And sponge.
Yeah.
Once you've got your feet stuck in sponge.
Yeah.
That's it.
And also the sherry makes it kind of moist, so it's quite sludgy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any, you know, a typical pigeon would be trapped in
the more sludgy the more it struggles, the more it struggles,
the more it gets sucked in. Yeah. Yeah. Most pigeons would say, whatever you do, try and keep still. spread your weight. Yeah. Spread your weight. And this particular pigeon. So you are gonna get, you know, inevitably you're gonna get the stupid pigeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know the yes. kind of the procedure for getting out of a lethal trifle.
Yeah.
So yes, and then it's just exhausted.
Yeah.
And that's when it's best to eat.
Exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other way pigeon of doing trifle. It, of course, is to make the whole trifle, then bake two blocks of sponge onto the pigeon's feet like a mafia hit. Right.
Yes.
Throw
yes.
it in and then it just sinks.
Because yes.
It
yes. yes, yes, yeah.
Because then you might actually get it so it's already, you know, if it's trying to spread its weight while sinking, you might get the head and the wings over the
yes
like you arranged and it anyway
it's
which
almost
quite
like
nice.
As if it's preserved like a Damien Hirst it's yeah. like a, yeah. it's a kind of gasping pigeon sort of trapped in a kind of jelly
yeah.
and sponge yeah lovely delicious
also if you're a waiter though you've got to bring it, if it's on the menu as dying pigeon trifle yeah. you've got to get that out before it's dead
oh yeah, yeah. Oh absolutely yeah. With it, I mean it's like a good souffle
yeah
you've
yeah.
got to serve it
you need
yeah.
to order that 24 hours in advance
oh yes yeah.
So I'll read your order back to you
okay.
and see how you feel about okay. it
yes.
So still water to begin with you're very firm about that
yeah
you said
house still water
the house water
house water.
Cheaper.
Although house water sounds filthy, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
it's yeah, yeah. It's come from a gutter.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
It's full of house water. Yeah.
Chip out of bread. Chip out of bread.
Chip out of bread.
Chip out of bread.
One of the things about coming from Kettering is you can't say cheer batter.
Cheer batter. I struggle with it so much every single time.
Say it again.
Cheer batter. Ciabatta.
Oh, great. We're going to get so many tweets about this.
Right. It's so hard to say it.
Ciabatta.
Ciabatta.
There you go. Yes,
there you go.
Ciabatta bread.
Right.
With olive oil. Antipasta, pasto, pasty.
Yes.
With salami, prosciutto, pickled peppers, artichoke hearts, cake.
No,
optional.
No. Don't translate that in.
No mortadella.
Main.
Oh, yeah. The mortadella's going out the window.
Yeah. Main course, mushroom, asparagus and cheese risotto.
Yes, nice. Yes.
Also, you know, if you we can throw in the log if you want.
Nope.
Up to you.
not interested.
Side, broccoli with chilli, medium-length stems.
Yes.
Your drink, red wine and lemonade, a.k.a. purgatory. And your dessert is a sherry trifle. We've assumed you don't want the dying pigeon.
No, I think I now do.
Yeah, you do. Trifle with a dying pigeon in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Encased in the jelly and in the sponge, yes.
I feel good about that meal?
I think that's delicious. I think that would
between what course?
As well.
What?
Where in the meal do you want to nip out and watch Morecambe and Wife?
I don't want to be out before the pigeon because you've got to time that absolutely. Yeah. So it'd have to be, you know, it'd have to be... before the risotto, I'd say.
Before the risotto, nip out. Yeah, after the antipasto,
you're kind of
full. That makes sense. Yeah. That's when you want to go
well,
out.
You want to take a good 40
catch
minutes.
A bit of Morgan Wise and come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Angela Rippon one.
Yeah, absolute classic.
Classic, yeah. Oh,
thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Amanda.
It's been delicious.
Oh, excellent. I'm glad to hear it. And I hope you enjoy the dying pigeon trifle.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
You're going to marry it.
There we have it.
Delicious and disgusting in equal measure.
I love it. Fascinating, weird pudding.
Yeah, what a innovative pudding.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, all of it. So many twists and turns, personal stories. I love the whole thing, Ed. What a delicious meal.
Wetarami.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Wetarami?
For the sausage and water place?
Yeah.
You think Pep sounds like wet?
Wetarami.
Okay.
Wetaroni. Yeah.
Because pepperoni.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because you went for pepperami first.
Yeah.
Like the brand.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual sausage. Well, I'll...
Splash Army.
On the positive side, at least you didn't say these in front of Armando. You just said your awful Cumberland and Sea one.
Cumberland and Sea was great.
Cumberland and Sea.
It just came at the wrong time. I blew it.
You really blew it. With him.
I wanted to riff with Armando Iannucci, and I blew it with Cumberland and Sea.
Yeah, I saw it in your eyes when it happened. It was a big moment. You wanted to riff in front of him for ages and show him how good you were off the cuff. And you're normally very good off the cuff, actually.
I still stand by Wetter Army, Cumberland and Sea.
Yeah, obviously you don't stand by Wetter Army.
I don't stand by Wetter Army.
I can't believe you're still standing by Cumberland and Sea.
I've got to get a good one by the time we finish, James.
Yeah, no, I understand that for you. I'm rooting for you as much as anybody else. I'm in your corner.
It's just you all took the names of the sausages. Different types of sausages.
Oh, bangers and splash, that's not a type of sausage.
Bangers is another name for sausages.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but the pun's in the mash, yeah. Bangers and splash, you see. It's quite... Because it's like sausage and water that the place sells, it's quite nice that it's got an and in the name. You know?
No, yours... Look, it was the first one and it was perfect.
Bangers and splash.
And then after that... Good. You know.
I wonder who I'll be cast as in the next Amanda Minucci film. I'll be sure to thank you in my Oscar speech.
Oh, he's got Hugh Laurie, mate. He doesn't need you. Need you, mate. Off-brand Hugh Laurie.
Didn't hear Hugh Laurie say bangers and splash earlier.
No, he's too busy, mate.
Hugh Laurie? What?
You're an off-brand Hugh Laurie.
What? Where have you got that from?
Hugh Laurie's too busy.
That makes you Stephen Fry.
He's in the city. Thank you.
Yeah.
If anything. Stephen Fry and sausage.
As soon as I said that, I realised I'd absolutely giving you a compliment.
Thank you.
Fried egg.
Hugh Laurie is too busy. He's in The Personal History of David Copperfield.
Absolutely.
And he's in a new TV show, Avenue 5, which is out now on Sky One and Now TV, and has also been written by Amanda Iannucci.
Oh, I'll be expecting the call soon.
For what?
Get a role in that for the Bangers and Splash guy.
It's too late. Bangers and Splash guy isn't a character, mate.
Going to be soon after that great riff I did earlier on. I don't think he's going to be writing a sitcom called Cumberland and Sea anytime soon.
Well,
that way.
Turns out I am. Time for the new guard, Ed Gamble.
Oh.
Cumberland and Sea.
Okay, so you've successfully pitched yourself to yourself, have you?
Yep.
Well done.
Thank you. Not even I've got confidence. As the commissioner or the ideas man.
But you're in your own thing, Cumberland and Sea. Actually, you know, if there's any listeners who think they can turn Cumberland and Sea into a good sitcom.
No, I'm doing it. I'm turning it into a good sitcom.
Maybe someone with some fresh ideas.
What was good about the episode especially was that he didn't say pickled herring, so we could have a lot of fun with him. We didn't need to remove him from the restaurant.
Big relief he didn't say pickled herring. I was worried. At one point he said pickled peppers. So I was like, uh-oh, we're going near the pickle jar.
Luckily, Peter Piper did not pick a pickled herring. If you like the sound of any of the restaurants that have ever been mentioned on the Off Menu podcast, we get a lot of correspondence saying, what was that name of the restaurant you said? Do you have any restaurant recommendations? All of them are on the website.
Absolutely. Go on the website. It's a big list there. You can click on the links and it takes you to the restaurant.
You can look at the
websites as well.
You can look at the menus.
It's a really great page and it'll be quicker and more efficient than tweeting Bonito on Twitter. He doesn't have time for it.
offmenupodcast.co.uk.
And Ed, speaking of Benito,
yes,
you know what else? That cheeky little chappy, he doesn't just do our podcast.
What?
Oh, this was what I found out lately, right?
Huh?
He's scampering around with other comics and he's doing other stuff, putting it out there for people to listen to. He's done a podcast with Rob Orton, right?
Yeah, Rob Orton.
Yeah, we love him, right? Yeah. Amazing comedian, poet, right? So good. I was so angry. I was like, I'm going to listen to these episodes to really, so I can just completely destroy Benito about how rubbish his podcast is. But it's brilliant.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was so annoyed.
Classic Benito.
It's such a brilliant podcast.
No one wants him to win, but he always does.
Loads of really short episodes. He's doing like an episode a day. I think,
daily podcast.
A daily podcast. I mean, I've never heard the like. Really short episodes. And this man's mind and his poetic tongue.
Benito?
Huh?
Benito's mind and poetic tongue.
Yes, he just knows how to pick the best. He picked Rob Orton. It's so great.
Well, maybe everyone should go and listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast then.
Rob Orton, who knows what poems he might write? Or why, he might write a poem about his new best friend, Benito. Benito, Benito, my little Benito. He has lovely feet-o. Oh, I would never cheat-o on my wife-o with Benito.
We've been sent some food, James.
Oh, we have?
We've been sent some chocolate from The Other Bar Chocolate.
The Other Bar?
The Other Bar. Oh. Not that bar.
Oh.
The Other Bar.
Like The Other Woman. Like we're cheating on our usual chocolate.
Oh, Sexy Affair Chocolate.
The Other Bar.
Ooh.
I wonder where that's going.
Fruits for drinks, which I've used already. They're little dried fruits that come in a bag and you pop them in like cocktails and stuff.
You put them in your drink?
Yeah, boy. Like dried Ooh. Citrus and stuff, yeah.
Do they come with a little mini diving board?
They don't come with a little mini diving board,
I'd want to
no.
ping them off of that.
Do you think everything that goes in a drink should come with a mini diving board?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to start marketing little glasses that have little diving boards on the side so you can ping your fruits into them.
That's great. And you could sell like an ice cube mould, which is in the shape of a diver.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Absolutely perfect. You just got in on the business at the ground floor.
Yes, because I'll be honest, Cumberland and Sear was not working out for me.
No. Oh, Ed, that was a lost cause and we all knew it. But actually now with ice cube divers... We're going to make millions. Dragons, it's over to you.
Oh, and shout out to Beavertown.
Mmm.
Beavertown beer.
Glug, glug, glug.
Glug, 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 suckers. We love that anyway.
Glug, glug, glug. We Thanks for the free beer, you absolute suckers.
Absolute suckers. We
already liked it. Ha ha.
Oh, I love a pint of neck oil. I love Gamma Ray if I'm feeling fruity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gamma Ray.
It's a bit strong if you're just having a couple of pints, but if I'm in for one, I'll have a Gamma Ray. But anyway, thanks for the free stuff, Beavertown. Bad luck. I even own a jacket with the Beavertown logo on.
He does. He actually owns that. And people bully him for it.
They don't.
On the daily.
No one bullies me for it.
I mean, no, it's cool.
Oh, behind my back.
Yes.
So thanks, Beavertown. And thanks to everyone who sends us stuff. It is much appreciated and it goes to a very good home. Thank you.
And thank you to Smash from Norway. Because I just ate a whole bag of it. And I feel great.
James, I'm going to Norway on my European tour. Would you like me to bring you back a big bag of Smash?
Yes, I would, Ed. Where else are you going on this European tour?
I'm going to Sweden. I'm going to Holland. I'm going to Belgium. I'm going to Greece, would you believe?
Whoa, I don't believe it.
Going to Dublin. Going to Belfast.
I respect you so much for this.
Yeah, I think that's everywhere, to be honest.
That's an excellent tour, Ed.
Thank you very much for listening to the Off Menu Podcast. We'll be back again with another wonderful guest and meal.
Don't go hungry.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe you know a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.